God's blueprint for your life can be found on the pages of Scripture.
The basis of all truth is God's holy word. We invite you to join the Beulah Baptist Church in Bennett, North Carolina, for Truth for Today with Dr. Neil Jackson. Dr. Jackson's verse-by-verse preaching will encourage you in your journey of life and answer your greatest questions. So open your Bible and your heart to hear Truth for Today.
Do you ever have the thought, how does someone go about being called to the mission field? How does someone, what is the process of someone being called into the ministry, called to preach? What transpires when you have just an average gut Joe working his normal secular job and something happens and he sells out and surrenders to God to go into the ministry? How does that take place? What is the process when you see a guy who's been in the church for a lot of years and been faithful and been dependable and been loyal, and all of a sudden something happens? Something happens in his life, maybe a tragedy, something major happens. And this average guy just goes to being above average. He sells out. He seems to get on fire for Jesus. And man, he is all out for a Savior. How does that happen? When we come to Isaiah chapter 6, we see how it happens in Isaiah's life. It doesn't mean that this is the only way it happens, but many times this is the way it happens. What happened in Isaiah's life? He went to church one day. And while in church, he saw something that all of us should see every time in church. He saw God. He saw God high and lifted up. You look at verse 5, "For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." This morning, four steps along the pathway to becoming a sold out Christian. Four steps along the pathway to becoming a missionary. Sermon's entitled, "The Making of a Missionary." First thing I want you to notice, what Isaiah saw, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." There are certain dates that we will never forget. December 7th, 1941, the bombing of Pearl Harbor. November 22nd, 1963, when President John F. Kennedy was assassinated. We will never forget. We could tell you where we were on September 11th, 2001, when those planes went into the World Trade Center and went into the Pentagon. Well, there, just as those dates are for us, there was a date in the life of Isaiah. It was the year that King Uzziah died. It was a traumatic experience for a Jewish person living in this day. Unlike most kings in his time period, Uzziah followed the Lord. He wholly followed the Lord. He was blessed because he followed the Lord. He was out and out with his faith, and God rewarded him because of it. They lived in a blessed time period. Prosperity was rampant. Milk and honey flowed rapidly. World trade was at an all-time high. Every battle King Uzziah fought, he won. And then all of a sudden, King Uzziah died. Isaiah was crushed. Oh no, what's going to happen to me? Oh no, this is horrible for our countrymen. This is horrible for the followers of Christ. Isaiah's attention was lifted from the earthly king who had died to the heavenly king who had not died. You see, verse 1, there are two kings that are seen. One is a dead king, but the other one is a divine king. One is a human king, but the other one is a heavenly king. Lamentations chapter 5, verse 19. Thou, O Lord, remainest forever. Thy throne from generation to generation. Isaiah's world had been rocked. It had been turned upside down. But God was still on the throne. Isaiah came to realize that the throne of Judah was vacant. But the throne of God was not vacant. King Uzziah had been shown to be immortal. But the King of Heaven was shown to be immortal. He never died and never would die. When Isaiah saw the Lord, don't miss this. He saw the Lord sitting on his throne. Now, friend, listen to this. A lot of times when trouble strikes our life, when tragedy strikes our life, we panic. We freak out. Oh, no, look what's happened. How are we going to make it? What's going to come about of me? Trouble has moved out. That was Isaiah's situation. His world was in chaos. His world was in turmoil. But God wasn't pacing back and forth. God wasn't wringing his hands. Oh, no. Oh, King Uzziah has died. I'm in a mess. Because God wasn't in a mess. And a lot of times in our lives, this happens and this happens and this happens. And we're wringing our hands and we're saying, I don't know if I'm going to make it. You are going to make it if you lean upon the Lord. Notice the last part of verse 3. The whole earth is full of his glory. If you want to know where our world is headed to the glory of God. We're not there, but that's where we're headed. The whole world, the whole earth is filled with his glory. Hold on a second. How are you to handle when your world goes into chaos? How are you to respond when all of a sudden everything that you depended upon is gone? Glorify God. Make much of Jesus. That's what they were doing, verse 4. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Can you imagine God's voice? And everything was shaken. Isaiah thought he was big, and he thought he was bad, and he thought he had everything under control. And if the world would just go the way I want it. And the world didn't go the way he wanted it. What happens when the world doesn't do what you want it to do? You need to see God. You need to see God high and lofty, seated on his throne, absolutely holy. And his voice, his word, changes things. What Isaiah saw. Number two, what Isaiah said. When you see God in the midst of turmoil, how are you going to respond? Verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When Isaiah saw the Lord in his holiness, he saw himself in his sinfulness. Up to this time, Isaiah saw everybody else's problems. He saw how everybody else was bad, and oh, they're bad, and 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 they're bad. Then his world gets turned upside down. He sees God, and the response to seeing God, he says, I'm bad. You're in Isaiah chapter 6. Turn back a page. Look at Isaiah chapter 5, verse 8. Woe unto them that join house to house that lay field to field till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. Verse 8, look at verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink. Look at verse 18. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity. Verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Verse 21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Verse 22. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine. Up unto chapter 6. He was a judgmental guy. Isaiah was saying, ooh, you're bad, and ooh, you're bad, and ooh, you're wicked, and ooh, you've got issues, and you've got issues, and you've got issues. And then he saw God. And when he saw God, he stopped focusing on their issues, and he started focusing on his issues. Friend, forget your neighbor. Forget your spouse. Forget the guy you work with. Compared to God's holiness, what's your issue? What is the sin that does so easily beset you? What is in your life that you know God hates this? God abhors this. What is it that you are judging everybody else for just so that you don't have to deal with your own sin? See, we in modern day church today, we are so judgmental. Oh, these people are bad. Oh, these people are wicked. Oh, these people are, they're not as good as us. And we're putting on a charade, a game, because we don't want to deal with our sin. I don't want to deal with my sin. I think of the man Job. Job was a righteous man. Job was a God-fearing man. But Job began to read his own press clippings. You know, God did say about me that there's none so righteous in all the earth as me. Job started to believe what his friends were saying until he saw God in all of his glory. When he saw God in all of his glory, Job chapter 42, verse 5. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. What's his response? He sees God. What's his response? Verse 6. Wherefore I abhor myself. I'm the problem, Job says. I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Forget everybody else. Forget everybody else exists in the world. What's your sin that you're holding on to? What's your sin that you're justifying? What's your sin that you are condoning? Oh, you condemn everybody else. Oh, they got this problem, and you hear about them. But how about you, between you and God? What is your sin? What Isaiah saw. What Isaiah said. Number 3. What Isaiah suffered. Look at verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. I find it quite interesting that if you notice what Isaiah's sin was, and what the sin of the people was, it had to do with their lips. It had to do with their tongue. A lot of times, oh, we're critical, we're negative, we're backbiting. Oh, they're not good enough. That was Isaiah's sin that he repented of. Do you need to repent of a wicked tongue? So what happens? He gets a coal, this angelic being gets a coal, speaks of the fire of judgment. He gets it from the altar, speaks of a place of sacrifice. So from the altar came the fire for his sin to cleanse him and to forgive him. Hold on a second. He had already confessed. God, woe is me. I'm sorry. Please forgive me for my wicked tongue. Woo-hoo. I'm good in the hood. Let's all go party. After he confessed, he had to go through a period of cleansing. It was a hot coal. Think about it. A hot coal placed upon his lips. What would a hot coal do? It would burn. It would sear. You say, why would this be? To cleanse him. You say, why is God focusing on his lips? Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 34, generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Isaiah had a dirty mouth because he had a dirty heart. He confessed it, but then he went through a time of forsaking his sin, the cleansing from his sin. Let me illustrate it like this. Remember the old westerns we would watch on television? And the guy would get cut in a knife fight or get shot, get grazed in a knife fight, in a gunfight. And he couldn't find the doctor because he was probably an outlaw, so he found somebody. And they went and got him a stick or a piece of bark. And they would get the gunpowder, and they would put it in his wound, and then they would set it on fire and burn it. Why did they have to do that? Oh, it hurt worse than the stab did. Why did they have to do that? To cleanse all of the infection. Friend, listen to me, because I don't want you to miss this. God wants to use you. God wants to supernaturally move in your life and make you a missionary. Maybe he doesn't want you to go to Africa. Maybe he wants you to go to your job or your school where you live. But you need to see God. You need to hear God. And then you need to get all of the junk out of your life. And when you get the junk out of your life, there's probably going to be a period of cleansing, where you repent of your sin and God has to burn off some of that chaff out of your life. Notice the fourth thing. What Isaiah surrendered. What he surrendered, and I love this. This is a fantastic passage. Look at verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? After cleansing comes the calling of Almighty God. God doesn't demand a perfect vessel, but he does demand a clean vessel. So God says, whom shall I send? Who's going to go for us? Isaiah hears it. He doesn't hesitate. He says, God, here am I. Send me. He doesn't say, wait a minute. Tell me what you want to do. Tell me what you're going to give me to do it with. What are the perks? What are the benefits? Tell me a little bit more details before I volunteer. Isaiah signed the contract before it had even been typed up. Notice what he says. Here am I. There's a big difference between here am I and here I am. Here I am indicates your location. God, here I am. Here am I indicates vocation. God, I'm all yours. God, I don't need to know the details. God, I don't need to know the where. God, I don't need to know the why. I don't need to know the how. Here am I. Send me. Look at verse 9. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. And notice this. Make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, let they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. The results were not to be a concern for Isaiah. Here's what he's saying. Isaiah, I want you to go to your people. I want you to go and proclaim to them. I want you to go and preach to them. I want you to go and declare the way of the Lord. But Isaiah, they're not going to listen. Isaiah, they're going to be fat on material things. Isaiah, their ears are going to be heavy. They're not going to listen to what you say. Look what it says. They shut their eyes. Isaiah, they're going to sleep through your sermons. Isaiah, I want you to go. Listen to this. To a people that's not going to listen. I want you to go to a people that's not going to care. I want you to go to a people who could care less about what you're going to say. You say, why? Why would God want me to go to people who would not listen? Because he's God. And he wants everybody to have an opportunity. Can you understand Isaiah? He just said, here am I, send me, God, me, I volunteer. And God said, okay, here's a couple other things you should know. They ain't going to listen. They ain't going to like you. They're going to fall asleep in your sermons. They're going to have dull ears. You're going to have to talk really loud, and they're still going to blow you off. And Isaiah says, on second thought, things are pretty good. God, if I go, how long do I have to proclaim this to them? Do I have to proclaim this to them for just one time or 1 week? Is this just a 1 week revival meeting, God? Look what verse 11 says. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant. And the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be great forsaking in the midst of the land. Isaiah, in the midst of the turmoil, has seen God. He has confessed his sin. He has been cleansed for his sin. He says, God, I volunteer. God says, go to these people that are going to blow you off. God, how long do I have to go and proclaim to them? God says, until there's no one left. As long as there's one person, you're to go and keep proclaiming. As long as destruction has not wiped them all out, you're declaring them the way of the Lord. Hey, they're not going to listen. You're probably going to have some discouraging days. Go and go and go and go and go. My friend, listen. The message is for you. God has called you to be a missionary. God has called you to be a missionary to your world. You say, how can I be a missionary? You need to see God. You say, how do I see God? In his word, in prayer, spending time with him. He calls you to be a missionary. God, they're not going to listen to me. God, they're so hard. God, those people are pagans. So was Isaiah's crowd. And God says to you, go and proclaim anyway. God, how long do I have to tell these people the way of the Lord? Until they're dead. Keep going. Keep loving. keep sharing. When they won't listen, when they fall asleep on you, when they plug their ears and say, I don't want to hear your message anymore, you keep proclaiming. You keep telling. You keep loving. A pagan king lied dying in battle. He turned to his sword bearer beside him. Sword bearer, go and tell the dead the king is coming. Immediately, his sword bearer killed himself so that he, pagan king, so that he, in his imagination, could go tell all of the dead people, the king, the king, the king. I'm not here telling you what a pagan king has said. I'm here telling you what a living God king has said. You, not the guy across the auditorium. You are to go tell dead people, the king is coming. The king is coming. The king is coming. That is your job. They may not listen. They may fall asleep. They may get angry. They may plug their ears. Your job, your mission is to tell dead people, the king's coming. The king's coming. The king's coming.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Truth for Today. Our prayer is that God's Word has ministered to your deepest need and answered many of your questions about life. Truth for Today is only able to broadcast on this station through the regular prayers and financial support of God's people. Would you consider becoming a monthly partner of Truth for Today? You may mail your gifts to Truth for Today, Post Office Box 104, Bennett, North Carolina, 27208. If you would like to receive a copy of today's message, please request this sermon with your donation of any amount. If you would like to donate by credit card, you may call 336-581-3170. Be assured that God's Word has the answer for your every need. And join us next time for Truth for Today.